Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? One, drink some water. Stop being a dumbass. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. The more you rate me, the more reviews that you leave, the more lit I become. Last but not least, if you would like to email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, that is goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Jay Omega, are you there?
I'm in the building, baby. What's happening? You got me.
Ain't too much to it, Weta. Ain't too much to it at all. You know, I want to... What I wanted to do... is I wanted to bring it back to the old school just real quick.
Let's do it.
In days probably before your time, when the air was crisp, I used to indulge on this beverage by the name of a Limerita. And in these days, what I do is I take some lime juice out of my refrigerator, I put it at the bottom of a mason jar, I fill said jar with water, I swirl it around to and fro, and I drink lime water. Am I a washed up ass nigga from the wash god himself?
I mean, I'm not the wash god, I'm the wash ambassador, but from my point of view, I just feel like you take care of your health, you know what I mean? You thinking about life a little differently right now, and you trying to better yourself. You know, if your body is A1, then your mind will, you know, certainly follow likely. And I just think you're doing the right thing. Maybe that's washed. Maybe that is washed. You feel me? Actually, now that after I just said that, but that's cool though. You feel me? Like we're gonna make being washed should be glorified. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I absolutely do. You know, because now I changed my diet around altogether. You know, I try not to eat beef, pork more than once a week. I don't eat pork. I eat pounds and pounds and pounds of veggies and fruit, and I don't eat buttocks. So I feel like that's pretty cool as far as the dietary restrictions are going. How do you feel about that?
I ain't gonna lie, although I do think it's washed to start caring about your self a little bit more because you start feeling the detriment of eating fucked up foods, having a bad diet, not taking care of yourself. The older you get, the wash sets in when you feel in the difference of not getting a good enough sleep and shit like that. So I do feel like it's washed, but I ain't gonna lie. No. My diet is horrible. My shit is bad. I'm eating buttocks. I'm eating the pork. I'm eating the chicken. I'm eating the beef. I'm eating the red meat. Like, I'm a medium rare type of nigga. And I'm all over the place out this motherfucker.
Nah, I feel that. And for those of you guys that don't know, you know, Jay Omega is someone who I met a few years ago when he was a podcaster. You know, he's on to do more things in regards to finance and family and fatherhood and stuff like that. He's made more money than ever before. His marriage is blossoming. He's a hell of a girl dad. And he's just someone that I overall just find interesting. And the reason for that is because Jay Omega is also a rapper. You know, I'm not going to say he is a former rapper. I believe creativity, especially when you're musically inclined, is something that never escapes you. And one of the reasons why I find him so interesting is although that he is a father and although that he is somebody that's engulfed in the realm of business and he's a homeowner and things of that nature, he's somebody who I view as being trapped to the standards that humanity places on us. And I just wanted to get his point of view on that. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're growing up, specifically as a black man, you know, it's like, yo, you got to get a crib. You got to get kids. You got to get the career. You got to get the girl. And when you attain all of that and your creativity has to take a back seat, you know, you start to feel this type of prisoner kind of boundary placed around you. And although on the outside looking in, if you was to write a script, that's the great American life, You know, when you're somebody that has so much to offer as far as his thoughts and his point of view and his creativity overall, how do you navigate throughout the world? And I believe you are somebody that can answer these questions for me. So, for starters, with you being so highly creative, how do you navigate through the world when, as far as having a textbook life is concerned, you have everything that a man could want?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you. I appreciate the kind words, honestly. You know, don't often have myself summarized to the extent that you just did there. So I do appreciate that. But I think you hit the nail on the head, to be honest. You know, this prison you speak of, this feeling of like having so much to give, having so much creativity and creative energy wound up. And almost at this point, I won't say no platform to give it to, but I'm running out of energy to put toward it, to fuel it, to gear it. And honestly, the way I've been getting by is reminding myself to do for me every so often, even if it's not you know, doing something from a creative space, just getting out of my own head and more in tune with myself, you know, kind of like meditating, mindful breathing. And I might even do that. It's not that I have to sit down, close my eyes, and you know, I will close my eyes and take in a deep breath and kind of exhale. For me, it's like exhaling the bullshit. You know, it might sound cliche, but like, I don't know if you've ever taken a deep breath and let it out and actually like made a sound, intentionally made a sound when you letting it out. Like when you're a kid, you might do it unintentionally. Like you might do it when you pissed off, you'd be like, ah. But like if you're just taking a real deep breath, let your chest fill with oxygen and just let that shit out. Sometimes that feels good. That's kind of that's what I do to just relax myself, remember that this too shall pass. And when I say this, it's really, I think, what everybody in society is going through right now, the lack of funds because of inflation. Everything is going up. You spoke about it in your last podcast or one of the last two podcasts you put out, the cost, you know, price of milk, price of butter, price of chicken, the price of everything. And I like that you mentioned, like, yo, you know, this shit is different when you have a family. You might have to go shopping. And nigga, I'll be spending, it's at least $250 a week.
Wait, hold on, wait, hold on, Jay. But usually, because if it's something that I'm very good at, I'm good at letting people talk, but I just want,
I be going crazy.
yeah, now it's all good because of who you are, I might get new listeners. So I just want to paint this picture just in case they haven't listened to the previous episodes. What I was saying was, you know, I see the yin and the yang as far as grocery shopping for yourself. And when you take into consideration the price of groceries, you know, chicken and eggs and bread and milk and, you know, juices and berries and veggies and all this type of shit, everything's on the rise. So the point I was trying to make is grocery shopping only makes sense if you're trying to feed a family. But if you are a single person and the only person you have to take care of is yourself, you are doing yourself a disservice by grocery shopping, in my opinion, because unless you freeze everything and you freeze the meat and you freeze the veggies and you freeze the fruit and you freeze the fucking bread and freeze everything just in the freezer, by the time you're in the mood to eat the things that you purchase for yourself, it's probably going to go bad because you're only feeding yourself. So now that I painted the picture, please continue.
Yes, sir. And I liked your perspective on that because I am on the side of trying to feed a family. I spend $250 a week basically on groceries. And this is a lifestyle that I am not used to living in the sense of feeling like, oh shit, my money not stretching the way it used to stretch on a regular day. Like, you know, and I'm not really doing much different. In fact, I might be doing a little bit less than I maybe would have been doing, you know, a couple years ago. But you know, back to your question, I remind myself this too shall pass. I get out of my head because I get anxiety really bad. And I'm really, at this point, I'm self-diagnosing, but I can't get myself to focused on good aspects of my life sometimes, and I go through like a sports center reel of all the negative shit I got going on and all of the stress and bills and responsibilities and accountability I need to take. And it's, I got to cut that shit off sometimes, and it's hard to do. So mindful breathing, putting myself in situations that make me happy, whether that be kicking it with the homies in any aspect where it's just niggas is chilling, not, you don't have to worry about putting on no facade to be somebody you're genuinely not and you don't want to be, but you're trying to be cool. And, you know, just immersing myself in the things that keep me happy. It might be playing a video game. I might sit down, you know, put the Switch on, play some Zelda, and just, you know, do something that might be like a puzzle type of game to where I have to focus on that. And, oh, shit, you know, 2 hours later, I might realize, wow, you know, my muscles feel relaxed. I don't feel stressed out. You feel me? And then I can go on and take on some tasks with a level head and do my thing, whether it be something creative or not. But that's where the grace come in. I haven't really been holding myself to a standard, you know. And without going off on a tangent, I feel like maybe I should be holding myself to more of a higher standard, but I haven't been because I don't want to let the anxiety swallow me whole. Pause, in the sense of like, If I know that I'm running out of time and energy to do certain things, and then I bash myself into the ground for not doing those things, I'm never gonna be in a good headspace to create in a good way. So I've had to put some things on the back burner for a while, like you mentioned in the beginning, and not let things go, but reorganize priority for now, with again that mindset and that knowledge of this is not going to be this way forever. You know, I have to actively work on it. I have to actively get these pieces to the puzzle put together. But it's work. It's hard work, especially with the responsibility of other livelihoods and well beings. So, it's rough. You know, but I do, like you also said, I do have so many things to be thankful for and happy for. You know, I have what you would consider to be a great, you know, kind of cliche white picket fence type lifestyle. But shit is rough, son. Shit is rough out here.
I do. And you know, the listeners are going to listen to whatever the fuck I fucking record and upload. So I wanted to ask you, do you mind if I go into a story that's going to then segue into a long-winded question?
Absolutely. I love long-winded questions because I ask them.
All right. So prior to the long-winded question, here's a story. I was 25 years old, and I was borrowing my aunt's car. I was doing some running around and just doing 25-year-old errands, whatever those shits may be. And as I'm cruising around, or what I affectionately call corner surfing, because I like to make myself sound cool when I have this microphone in my hand, as I'm corner surfing, I'm changing lanes, and there's a woman in my blind spot. So as I'm changing lanes, you know, we touch each other's cars, you know, ever so gently, and, you know, we ended up pulling over. Once we pulled over, I soon realized that this woman was white, so I made the judgment call to just drive away because I don't like being around white women in times of duress because that's how you get shot. So I drove home. I thought about it. And it just so happens that my aunt's plates had the fireman logo on it because my uncle is a firefighter. So once the woman saw my license plate and called it in to police, you know, they soon recognized what car it was and called my uncle. My uncle then called me. It was like, hey, did you just get into a car accident? I was like, where are you? Totally didn't answer the question. Try to divert the attention real quick. You know, just trying to think on my feet. And he was like, hey, I know you got into a car accident. First of all, are you okay? I was like, yes, I'm fine. Is the car okay? Yeah, the car is totally fine. Okay. The woman is still there. I think you should go talk to her and just clear it up. So I said, all right. I drove back. The woman was still there in front of the 7-Eleven. And, you know, she was slightly irate, and she was making it seem as though She had blemishes and scratches on her car that I had nothing to do with. But when you're in a situation to where your car may have been fucked up and then you get, you know, tapped by somebody, you can just lie and say anything, especially when you're a white woman. So what I did was I was like, you know what? I'm going to lie and tell this woman that I have a daughter. So I'm looking at her and I was like, yo, my fault. You know, I was just in a rush. You know, I'm trying to do a thousand things. Like, I would never try to do anything harmful to you. You know what I mean? I see you under duress, but, you know, I would never do nothing like that because I wouldn't want anybody to do this to my daughter. She was like, you have a daughter? I was like, yeah. Now, I have to make this abundantly clear. I told her I have a daughter because I'm a scumbag, but stay with me. So after I told her the lie, I was like, yo, I have a daughter. And she was like, all right. You know, this isn't really a big deal anyway. You didn't. So my plan worked. I drove home in triumph. But for you, you know, you bring up anxiety and you bring up the white picket fence lifestyle. You have the daughter. You have the wife that you're still with. This isn't your second baby mother. You know, your wife isn't a piece of shit, which isn't always promised. Your wife is actually pretty cool. Your wife is black, which is a super duper bonus. So you have a black, cool, understanding wife, you have a beautiful black daughter, you have a home, you have the job. What exactly triggers this anxiety that you have?
Honestly, is first of all, that story was hilarious. And I want to tell you that although I actually do have a daughter, I still use her as the excuse when she ain't the excuse at all. So I definitely honor that, my good man. But, yeah, the anxiety comes from, I think it's a male thing. I think it's a primitive male head of the household, bring home the bacon, provide and secure type of role that's been placed on us. But I fear for the future sometimes. I think about, are we making enough money? Is my job going to last forever? What may happen if this happens? And if this, then what? You know, we did just buy a new house about 8 months ago. So it's all great things.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But with that comes more responsibility, and it's fun. It's fun for a while. You know, there's many different projects and different things I got going on here. Good ones. This wasn't a fixer upper. Like, we bought a pretty nice crib that didn't have anything going on that we had to fix per se. But we got a lot of things that we want to add and change around and whatnot. And so that's exciting, but also, of course, mad bread, and especially in a time where everything is going up. Like we said, we basically be in a recession. It's inflation right now. At the time I even bought the house, shit was getting crazy. Interest rates were already going up. I was thankfully able to lock in at a pretty good rate in comparison to what it is today. And so I'm thankful for that. However, it was still higher than I would have liked it to be. So, you know, I'm handling a way heavier mortgage than I was and versus what we were paying in rent. I like to manage my bills in an auto pay situation. So I don't like looking at my bills. I don't like even feeling like I have to. And that's a part of the anxiety. Like, the part of anxiety is having to look at what's due and when, and pay all that shit individually and watch it leave the account. Like, I don't like doing all that. I look at my account when I physically go spend money, going to buy myself something or making a purchase that has nothing to do with bills, but that's after the bills are already taken care of. But now I'm getting new bills. You know, I'm paying bills that I didn't have to pay as a renter. And some of the bills are light, but it's a lot of them adding up, and it's hitting to a point where it's like, damn.
Hold on, brother. My apologize for breaking the fluidity of what you were saying, but, you know, we're all the same age, and we're all in very similar points out of our life as far as how long we've been on Earth. Can you please break down the variance of these bills?
Okay, so basically itemize what I got going on right now.
Well, you don't necessarily have to like itemize it.
I'm not.
Because you were saying it's new.
With the quantity, but like yeah. What the bills are.
Yes.
So I got water. I have sewer. I have garbage recycling. I have pest control. I have natural gas. I have energy. I have security. Pardon that pause. I'm just thinking of all the miscellaneous ones that have been coming up. I think I took care of all the miscellaneous ones. And then I got my mortgage on top of that.
That's the home.
I'm not talking about phone and, you know, nothing. I'm not talking about phone and car insurance and Netflix and all of that other shit. Hulu, Disney Plus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just talking the home itself.
These are the things that aren't told to you when everybody's pushing, you know, why do you want to pay somebody else's mortgage? Why don't you own your own? You know, if you want generational wealth, you need to buy a house. But it's not told to you the multitude of bills that come your way, because I'm not going to lie to you, J. Omega. I've never heard of a sewer bill in my life until right now. And I'm turning 33 in February.
Oh, yeah. Water and sewer, two separate bills. And typically when you're renting, you're never going to have to pay sewer. You might have to pay water. You might. The landlord might get you with that. But in most cases, you don't even have to pay water. You're definitely probably not paying for your garbage disposal. You know, there's most likely a bin on site, or you could just put your trash on the street, whatever the situation. But in most cases, the owner of the house is paying for the garbage disposal. But yeah, you pay for that, and then you find out that you also have to pay for recycling. And some of these things, again, some of these things are cheap. They're not crazy, but they add up, you know. Coming into the home ownership situation, the previous owner had a security system already set up. And, you know, $50 a month. So it's like, that's cool. We can do that. But it continues to add up. And then, you know, you start getting some pests, you get ants, you get mice. And it's like, oh, you can't just call a landlord and be like, yo, what's going on? Come take care of this or have this taken care of. You gotta go ahead and step into the role of doing it all.
You are the lord of the land. It's you.
You are the lord of the land. Exactly. And so I set up pest control, you know, and then that's another monthly bill. And it's cool. You know, I'm taking it in stride. I'm learning. I'm excited about, again, a lot of what the potential here is. But at the same time, it was like a shockwave that hit once things started really going up and the money started going to the rate where it was like, oh shit, I'm not really saving like I used to, or maybe I should buy a little bit less weed, or, you know, because on one hand, it's like, oh, okay, we moving and grooving. We have X amount saved up because we was preparing to buy the house. So we were sitting on a very nice nest egg, doing well financially, not really, you know, worried about much. But then it's like, you know, where you say, where did the anxiety come? It's kind of like I'm watching the dial go down. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Then the next month is like, And then the next month is like, This is not when is it going to do what it's about, do what it's supposed to do, do what it do like it did do. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, it's not doing what it do. So now what's going on? You know what I mean? So it's really just fearing for the future. And the thing is, I'm not broke. I'm in no way shape, or form anywhere close to being on the street. I'm not worried about money today. I'm not worried about money next month. I'm worried about being on the same page with my wife and knowing the situation we're in and just knowing how to adjust accordingly, realizing that things are more expensive than they've ever been. Things are in more demand than they've ever been.
And the bills ain't changing. And that's the one thing that I can view myself having anxiety in that capacity, because, you know, it's not the fact that you're broke today. You're not going to be broke next month. Your child can still have Christmas. It's 10 years from now, your bills are going to be the same. And you and your wife has the game plan to make this amount of money that you're making right now for the rest of your life, which can legitimately trigger anxiety. So I feel you.
100%. So is that, you know, it's wondering if I'm doing enough as a father, doing enough as a husband, doing enough as a son, a brother, a friend. I mean, part of my anxiety literally comes in the form of friends haunting me in my fucking daydreams and asking me why I don't call them and why I don't reach out. And again, it's a subconscious thing. I could be just sitting, chilling, working, doing something. But like in the back of my mind, it's like, damn, you ain't reach out to so-and-so in mad long. You're a scumbag. Like, this nigga was your man's from back in the day. And then I'd be like, well, that nigga ain't reach out to me. I'm sure it's all love. Maybe I'm just overthinking, and I know I am. But at the same time, like, it's something on my other shoulder nagging me, like, damn, bro, but you could reach out. You never know what's going on in life. Like, you obviously thinking about that nigga. May as well just, you know, but it's like, it's crazy. It's just like, that's how the anxiety kind of creeps up. And then it stays there, because from there, now I'm not focused on whatever task it was that I was working on. And now my mind starts wandering. I start thinking about all kind of other shit. Oh, who else haven't I reached out to in a while? I wonder how they doing. Then I might go to their page and find out some shit that I, you know, whatever it is, like, and then it just, I'll go down a fucking rabbit hole. And, you know, instead of just like, you know, being present in the moment, I'll be stressing about shit that I don't really have much control over, you know? Or I could just take control and be done with it. But my mind be so much on a hamster wheel that it almost renders me incapacitated.
Nah, I'm right with you. And, you know, there was a week where I did an experiment. And because, you know, there will be times where I'll look at my account like, yo, why don't I have as much money as I feel like I have? And that's because, you know, miscellaneous spending, right? So just stick with me here. So what I did was I took $100, you know, I took some 20s, some 10s, some 5s, some singles. And I was like, all right, whenever I'm in the mood to buy gum or some chips or a quick slice of pizza, whatever, I'm going to carry all the change in my pocket and just watch the money just wither away, right? And after doing this for a few days and I watched $100 wither away, I concluded that I need to remain single, because anybody who asks me to take them on a date is an op of mine at this point in my life, right? Now, so you feel me? Like, I'm out here trying to do all kind of creative things in regards to, you know, garnering EBT and just doing all these things just to stay afloat while I make this next move. But for you, you know, I just find it very interesting that you have not one woman to take care of, but you have two women to take care of. And I know you was talking about, you know, being a better husband, you know, being a better dad and all this type of shit, but legitimately, what the fuck do you think about when you're laying in bed and like, yo, damn, son, there are really two people that I'm really responsible for real, for the remainder of my time on this earth, I'm responsible for these two. How does that fucking make you feel, for real?
High key, I'd be like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, it really be just as crazy as you just depicted it to be. Like, I really do be laying down with my eyes closed or wide open, just looking at the ceiling and being like, yo, I'm really a married ass man with a whole child, and things are good. I'm somehow, like, we, you know, me and my wife as a unit are making this shit work. We are literally responsible for human beings' well-being, health, wealth, and happiness. And, you know, we out here making it do what it do. I'm thankful. Honestly, I'm thankful. I'm like, you know, I feel blessed. I look around at a lot of my friends and even family that I came up with, grew up with, and looking at the lifestyles and the paths that they've, you know, taken, some of them, and others that have, you know, gone on to do great things and, you know, also subsequently have, you know, happy lifestyles, whether they be single or not, but wholesome in the sense of, like, they're doing what makes them happy. They're not fronting for nobody. They're not putting on for nobody. They're living life respectfully, respectably, and, you know, they're successful in their own right. And what I believe success is happiness. And if you're happy, bro, if you're living a happy lifestyle and what you do for yourself and your community of people fulfills you, then that's all you need. And me, you know, I'm happy that I'm fulfilled in having the family that I do, and my boy Lennox, the little dog that was forced on me. But of course, I love him. I mean, shit, that's my little man. You know what I mean? That nigga be annoying the shit out of me, but you know, I don't know why black parents do that, bro. Like, black parents always have to give their kids, whether it don't matter if it's the fucking animal, they have to give their kids like a backhanded compliment. I've been trying to stop doing that. I mean, I don't really give a fuck because it's Lennox, but, you know, when my daughter, for instance, they'd be like, oh, how sorry. Like, I have to actively not say something negative. Like, I'd be like, yeah, man, you know, she's good. She's doing well in school. She's reading. She's, you know, she's counting to 30. She's an amazing artist. And, like, in between all of those great things, I'd be thinking to myself, she'd be annoying the fuck out of me. She don't want to sleep on her own. She's starting to talk back, and I can't get her to do what I need her to do, and she doesn't eat vegetables. But, like, I'd be thinking to myself, you know, just stick to the positive shit. Leave all the backhanded compliments out, because it's crazy. Like, black parents always do that shit. Oh, he's a pain in my ass, but he's mine. I love him. He's doing good. But, it's like you have to somehow throw in there that they're a handful in some sort of way.
Listen, man, the reason for that is, you know, you got to blame the church. Because you got to blame the church, because the one thing that happens in church that nobody wants to even speak about is you go to church for salvation. You go to church, you know, to align your spirit, to align your mind, to align your body, you know, so you can be receptive to things that you would have normally wouldn't have been receptive to. You know, you're getting a translation of the Bible, and it's being translated to where it can be comparable to what you're going through. And as all this is happening, you're asked to put 10% of your earnings into a floating bowl. Now, if I have to give 10% of my earnings for artificial salvation, what am I going to say about my children? Do you feel me?
That's church speak right there. You talking about churches. You over here on the pulpit preaching, nigga. Shit. God damn it, if that wasn't a fact.
I mean, it's all, and you know, it's very possible that I just made that up for the sake of entertainment, but you went with it, and this is why I love you.
No, I think it's just, listen, man, I think, I don't know if you've seen Black as Fuck on Netflix, but.
Not yet. Yes, I did, with Kenya Barris. I did watch that.
Yes, but I believe it is him that likes to somehow tie everything back to slavery in any way, shape, or form. I believe it's him, but he's basically right. To some extent, he could quantify blaming something on slavery. Right. Whether it be how we endear our children, how we reprimand our children, how we go about life, why we dress the way we dress, why we dance the way we do. He can go as far as to lay everything on slavery, and it's funny. I think you can not only do that, but you can blame just as much on a church. So, I ain't mad at you, brother. That sounds damn near about right.
Yeah, I'm saying. So, here's another story that I'm going to tie back into the conversation. So, back in the day, before sneakers came out, before jeans came out, I was in a relationship, right? This was, if I'm not mistaken, this might have been 100 years ago, right?
We were walking
Yeah, it was just, it wasn't even 100. It might have been 100,000 years ago I was in a relationship, right? So during this time, you know, I'm speaking to Shorty. You know, things is a little rocky at this point. And I got the idea. As I'm enduring these verbal altercations and all this negativity and this, everything is just not aligning with my mind, body, and spirit. I got the bright idea to get some outside poontang. So I went ahead and got some outside poontang. And what I came from that was not only was that fulfilling, but it was also delicious. But you don't do these things. You don't resort to getting outside poontang when you're in a relationship spats. So how is it that you knew that your shorty was the one and you know the days of you getting outside poontang was coming to an end?
I mean, I knew she was the one when I felt myself thinking about her first when it came to wanting to talk about things, like share thoughts. When I got excited about something, I thought about her. When I got sad about something, I thought about her. When I got depressed, when I felt fulfilled, when I felt any emotion that drove me to the point where it was something I wanted to share, I wanted to share it with her. That's when I knew she was the one. As far as not getting the outside poontang, it just is what it is at the end of the day.
Right.
Marriages work. You know, I feel like there are circumstances where there are relationships where either of the parties may have cheated. They may know, they may not know, but they may have then done the work to get around that. At the end of the day, you know, where I am and my relationship and where I am with my willpower and my morals and, you know, what I stand on, it's just easy right now not to indulge in any type of tomfoolery to that nature. But I will say that there are situations where sometimes, and again, this is where, you know, you still do the work to get around it, but sometimes shit is tough, shit is hard out here, you know? People do need fulfillment. And again, like you said, you had to step out because you may have not been fulfilled to one aspect. But, you know, what was very important in marriage and any relationship, and most relationships, is communication. And you got to be brave enough to be honest about how you're feeling about the situation. And if it comes down to sex or physical intimacy or, you know, any intimacy, any specific type of intimacy, financial, emotional, whatever, if there's a lack there and that shit is affecting your mental, you got to be brave enough to talk about it. You know, listen, baby, I'm really really not feeling how long it's been since we've last, you know what I mean, gotten busy. What's going on? It's not like us. I'm physically unhappy because of it. I know you notice it. I notice it. I've been acting like a dick lately. What's up? You know, let's figure this out. Let's talk about this. Instead of letting it build up, harbor, this is what marriage is, this is whatever, you know, fuck it. I'ma just cheat. I mean, I'm gonna just cheat and come home and be better.
No, wait, hold on, but just stay here real quick because I want to get back to. Not at all. I just want to stay the very thing you said. I just want to really stay on that particular point that you just said. I can just go outside, cheat, and just come home fine because I wanna go back to when I was in a relationship 100,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So this is where it all comes to. And I could talk about this now because I've grown wiser since then. My mentality has changed. My personality has changed. But at that point in time in my life, I was like, okay, the type of personality that I have, I don't like having to rely on people in any capacity. If you want to do something for me, I'll do something for you. And then we can create some foundation in a village. I'm like this with co-workers, I'm like this with friends. I was like this when I had to do shared projects in school. If you say you're going to do something and I say I'm going to do something, we can then create. but I don't like relying on anybody. So what then happens in a relationship, right? A monogamous relationship is everything that I need sexually, I have to legitimately rely on you. Now, I know what's going to happen. You know, the semantic police are going to come out the sky and come out the ground and come out the trees and be like, well, if you made her feel better, then she will make you feel better and blah, 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 blah. Because everybody has access to Disney Plus and everybody watches Disney movies. But in the fucking real world, that's not how it fucking works. I'm relying on you. You're relying on me. We're relying on each other. And this is why we are a team. So what happens is in times of strife and arguments and just unsettling conversations, the first thing that will happen, well, particularly in my life, I don't want to speak about everybody else because I don't like speaking in generalities, is you withhold one of the things that I rely on, very similar to punishing your son or punishing your daughter by taking away the cable or taking away the PS5 or taking away the treats or saying you can't be with your friends. You know, very similar to how kids need entertainment, adults need poontang, specifically this one. So when you're stripping this away from me, I'm now feeling I'm relying on you. So now I do to you what I do with every aspect of my life. You know, if I'm injured, I'll go to fucking rehab to be able to do what I got to do. If I feel like I'm fat, I need to lose weight. If I feel like I'm broke, I need to go out and make more money. If I feel like poontang is being withheld from me, I need to go out and get some poontang. So this is how cheating helped me in the moment. You know what I'm saying? So this is why I was bringing about, you know, everybody wants to always talk about cheating, but niggas never want to specifically break down why the cheating is happening. And then they'll start saying all these negative things about you and about your character. Like you're this salacious human being that fucking hates human life. Like, how could you ever do that? If you want to be single, just say that. No. I don't want to be single. I love this woman. I want this woman to be a part of my life. But she's withholding things from me without negotiation, which is grounds for dictatorship and terrorism, and terrorists aren't to be negotiated with. They are to be destroyed. So this is why I resorted to cheating.
And I feel you. I do. For me, it's a no-brainer not to cheat, but just because I have such a good woman.
Right now, I'm at the space that you're in, it's the space I'm in. I'm just talking about before 100,000 years ago.
No, I heard you 100%. And to be honest, I feel your reason. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that shit, you know, happens to this day. And it's not even sometimes withholding. Sometimes it's just the nature of the beast when both of you are busy and you don't really have the time to you know, spend. And you're tired. And shit is going on mentally where you're not in the mood either. So, you know, it gets to that point where it's like, yo, one or the other person may not be in that same headspace and they want it. Like, yo, what's going on? It's been this long. It's been that long. Like, this shit is crazy, you know? And really at the end of the day, it's just a reminder that, you know, none of this shit is not being done with malice. Now, if it's being done with malice, that's a different conversation. But it's still a conversation that needs to be had, you know? Now, you're saying without you know, holding ransom, you know, without any type of
negotiation.
I mean, then that means that the conversation is not becoming successful. You tried to speak about it, and you know, she ain't trying to hear it. Okay, well, you know, sometimes shit happens. You drive somebody away, but you know, it's a maturity that not comes only from yourself, but it's more so maturity in the relationship. Time spent, time going through shit, working on shit together, feeling the support of your person, and, you know, remembering all of the reasons why you are in love with that person and what about them stands out and aside from all of the rest. You know what I mean? Because you can go get pussy. I mean, That's out there and it's in abundance, but
ooh, yeah.
What comes attached with that, you know what I'm saying? And what is at risk, you know, outside of that and as a result of that maybe coming out to the light, you know? So it's basically weighing out. You really got to weigh out. Everybody has a decision to make in life, you feel me? You can decide to to work a 9-to-5 job, you could decide to take a risk and just fucking quit everything you got going on and put caution to the wind and do what these niggas tell you on TV and, oh, just take risks and you gotta sacrifice and, yeah, you know, whatever you choose to do, it's your choice, you know what I'm saying? But some people, they want to be safe. They want no problems. You know, I'm at that point in my life where it's like, listen, I want no problems. I'm trying to be safe. I got no reason to, you know, make hellacious decisions, like cheating right now. Of course, you know, shit get rough sometimes. Of course, it's work. Of course, conversations need to be had, but, you know, we both still like each other. Shit, sometimes we'd be pissed off to the point where it's like, man, I don't even want to sleep next to this motherfucker. But we both like each other enough to where we can remind ourselves, I mean, nah, but I'm not going nowhere type shit. You know what I mean? She not going nowhere type shit. We been unkilled each other before either of us left, you know? We on the same page with that type of shit. And we need to show our daughter what love is, what black love is, you know what I'm saying? We have responsibilities as parents to nurture our daughter's mind and spirit, and we want her spirit to be full, you know? We want her to grow up having seen what love, I'm not going to say should look like, because I guess that's, subjective, but you know, what we want her to have as a vision of love, and that's not arguing in front of her as best we can and yelling and being on different pages and being easy to put up against each other. And, you know, that's like a responsibility for us. And we both have those values, you know, we both have similar values and outlooks on life. And, you know, at the end of the day, we might have different opinions on how to get to the end goal, but our end goal is the same. So us being one is more than like, oh, we married and that's it. You know, we wear these rings and we're parents, but us being one is also in the sense of, where are we headed in life? Is it the same place? Because you could be doing your thing and have your career and be making your money, you know, doing whatever it is you're doing, and I'm making my money doing whatever it is I'm doing. But when this shit is over, when niggas is retired, when work is done, when our kids are out of the house and gone and living their own lives and starting their own shit, and all we have to look at is ourselves and, you know, what we choose to do with the rest of our lives. Are we on the same page? Are we going the same direction? Are we, you know what I mean? Are we grooming ourselves to be on the same island, so to speak? And right now the answer is yes. I think that the shit that hurts most marriages these days is, you know, we get married because we fall in love with a person, but we don't realize that a person continues to change as we grow older. Same as our friendships changed and relationships with coworkers and all kind of secondary and tertiary people in our lives, like, people change, you know what I'm saying? You might grow up with somebody who used to be, you know, super soft and cool and a nerd, and this used to be your person that you could just play video games with and chill, and you didn't have to worry about where the bitch is at and all this shit. It's just, you know, the homie, you know, and all of a sudden some shit might have happened where the nigga might have fucking, I don't know, at the age of 14, got jumped into a gang, and that nigga just been different ever since, you know? And who the fuck is this nigga? Like, people just, shit happens, people experience life differently, and they change, and people grow out of love with people grow out of habitual contact with people, and it's insane that people don't think this can and will happen with love partners. Just because you're in love with them, like, it's insanity to think that that person is not going to also continue to change throughout their life and mature and grow differently. That you're growing into a different person. You're growing into the person you're going to settle into be. And your brain is constantly learning. You're constantly changing. And even all the way down to, you know, you're literally, you could become allergic to things out of nowhere. You could put your taste buds might change. You could have loved sushi 7 years ago, and now the thought of it might repulse you, you know, but it's about knowing that this person that you chose is in there no matter what. It might be little things that change about he or she or them, but are y'all connected, you know, throughout all of that? Because you're changing too, you know. You're changing, your thoughts and visions and tastes might be different as well. You might not even notice it, but at the end of the day, like, from the outside looking in, somebody may not, you know, may tell you, but you may not realize the person that you love is noticing that, and they may feel a way about it. But again, it's that communication, you know. Gotta be brave enough to talk. That shit is hard, though.
That's a fact. So I just have three questions, and that's going to close our conversation in regards to what I'm recording.
Lydia again.
Lydia again. You feel me? So, question number one: how do you navigate throughout the world with a wife that's taller than you?
Oh man, it's rough out here for a short nigga, bro. Like, I've been 5'9" my whole life, damn near, probably since like 7th grade.
Come on, wait, Jay. Jay, 5'9"?
I'm not 5'9".
Jay. Jay. Jay.
It's on my license. It's on any hospital record that I go to. Okay, when the niggas measure me, I'm 5'9". Ball headed or not, bro. I'm telling you. I'm not 5'8", goddammit. I'm 5'8". Syed's 5'8", as a matter of fact. I'm
right.
Slightly taller than Syed. Syed's 5'8". I'm only some inch taller. However, my wife is 5'11", 5'10", 5'11", and she enjoys wearing heels. and honestly, over the years, I've just learned to love it, to keep it a buck with you. I have to embrace all of the perks of being with a tall woman. It's a very happy time as well, you know. I do sometimes feel like I'm being babysat. You know, when we walk in across the street and we holding hands, I feel like I'm being led across the street sometimes. It's a feeling of, you know, I get a little bit of that Napoleon complex because I'm like, what the fuck? Tall people in general, when I'm around, especially very tall people, like I'm talking like 6'5" and above, I have like, I feel, honestly, a sense of danger, to keep it a buck with you, because I'm just sitting there. I feel like after a certain height, you're going to be able to just pick me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel danger now. Like, I feel like I'm vulnerable, and I don't like feeling vulnerable. So, like, I just tall people in general be like, making my fucking skin crawl sometimes. But Having a tall wife, man, you know, I ain't gonna lie, there's a lot of perks to it. I ain't mad shit. I have stuff. I gotta get on my tippy toes to get a smooch. I get on my tippy toes. You got it, man. Ain't no shame in my game no more. Cause at this juncture, I can still pick her up. That's really what at the end of the day that I can't pick her up is the day that I have failed, and now I gotta reevaluate what's going on. As long as I can still pick her up, let her know what's good real quick, I can pick, you know what I mean? I'm good. I'm good money. I got no problem.
Now, I feel that, because, you know, with me being the original, you know, I'm 6'2". So if I was to ever meet someone that I fell in love with that was 6'3 or 6'4, I would have no choice but to hand them a weapon and then challenge them to the death, because both of us can't be here. Like, we would have to fight to the death. That's just what it is. I would have to challenge you to Mortal Kombat, because one of us have to go.
Yeah, nah, my wife and me and my wife, we have played for probably we haven't played for it in many years. Because when we do, it gets too crazy. Like, I'm just a husky short nigga, and she is she's tall, and she's Amazonian. Like, she's not just tall, but she, like, we done slap box and played around, and she get busy to the point where we not playing no more. Now it's like, okay, hold on. What's really good though? I have to roll up my sleeves real quick. But so we have to we had to stop because it's getting crazy in here.
Second question.
All PG, by the way.
Of course, of course, of course. No DV, no DV.
Just for the listeners that may not know, how crazy does it get? All fun and games.
Of course, no DV on this platform. It's all about peace and love. You feel me? So I'm definitely right with you. The second question is, you know, due to the fact that your creativity has been subdued at this juncture of your life, what do you do as a hobby? Do you still rap from time to time? Do you journal? Or what are some things that you do to get that creativity out here?
Man, yo, I need to start journaling again. At the top of this year, I was journaling heavy for a couple of months. And then I went into house hunting and the journaling. Matter of fact, a few things stopped when I went into the house hunting mode because I was focused and tunnel vision on that shit. And it worked out. And now we're back in the business. But I got to start journaling again. That's a good thing that I do. I play video games, like I said. And I don't even be like, I'm not like a 2K kind of nigga. Like, I like long pause, long RPG games like Zelda, Final Fantasy type shit, action adventure. I've been playing like the Uncharted series, just keeping my mind stimulated, you know what I'm saying? And then doing things like that does sometimes spark creativity to where, like, you asked if I'm still rapping. I haven't put out music, I haven't recorded music, I haven't really written much in the past 2-3 years. I ain't even gonna hold you. Like, the last couple projects I put out were Jekyll and Hyde. That was 2020. And I've really just been in my sad bag after that. I ain't even gonna lie, bro. Like, it's just been, like, really a battle to keep myself from being too depressed. Like, I was depressed. It is what it is. I'm not shameful to say it. But it's being conscious of it, it's acknowledging what's going on, and it's doing the work to dig myself out. That's really the toughest part. And that is, though, you know, those are the things that I do. I was jumping rope for a while when it was nice outside, just to try to keep myself getting a little active. Because, you know, where a lot of this depression came from was not being able to do a lot of the routine things that I did for myself when I didn't even realize I was doing it. Simple things like getting a haircut every 2 weeks, getting my hair braided every 2 weeks. You know, these are like self-care things that I didn't even really, I was taking it for granted to keep it a buck with you. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm spending all this money. And yeah, I was spending bread, you know, trying to take care of that shit every 2 weeks. It was getting a little pricey, like, but at the time I had it, you know, especially in the time where, like, you know, circumstances were a lot different. I spoke about inflation and all that other shit, but we also down to one car. So, like, I'm doing all of the pickups and drop-offs and traveling, as well as trying to keep on my own schedule. So it tends to feel like I don't have the time or space to do certain things for myself anymore. And so now I have to just recognize when I'm feeling depleted and almost like force myself to carve out some time to do something just for me, whether that be smoking a little something, something, playing a little something, something, sitting down, watching a Netflix, you know, watching some shit on TV, basically. But stimulating myself, my mind, in the sense of I'm not like just letting the anxiety get to me, you feel what I'm saying? And the creativity is still there, because I'll write, like, I started writing recently. If I'm driving to work, now I got an hour commute, so I'll throw a beat on. I'm only going into the office 2 days out of the week, so that hour commute is not bad. It's only twice a week. I might throw a beat on. I might, you know, write a nice little 4 or 5 bars. Nothing crazy on the way to work. I'm not the type of nigga that's gonna like have 3 songs written in an hour and shit like that. Like, I like to take my time and really put thought and effort into this shit. And I got a lot of rust to knock off, you feel what I'm saying? But I also have plans. I have ideas for the future. Like, I don't want to do, I think you do a really good job at doing a solo podcast, but I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to do a podcast where it's just me. And I also don't want to do a podcast where I have to rely on having guests. And I did a podcast for 6 years, and I think it was a pretty successful podcast where we did really great things and built great connections, and I think touched people's pores in a way that might have been similar or different to many of the other shows that are out there, but at the end of the day, in a positive way. And that's all that really matters to me. I feel like I got to move on to something else, but I do want to talk to the people. Because as you can see, as you can hear, as you know personally about me, I like talking. And sometimes I can talk way too fucking much. So it's really about, like, what do I have to put a plan in motion and set a goal, put a plan in motion, and start taking action against it. So part of, you know, what I do to be creative is write down ideas, random ideas. I'll open my phone, open up a note, and just put down, Twitch streaming, what game would you play? How long? What day? What time? Discord, look into this app. I'm literally reading, like, this. It's a YouTube link, and it says, mixing, using Adobe. It's like, there's like just little things that's like, all right, I'm gonna come back to this when I'm ready. I'm a work on this. So I'm gonna come to this, and I'm gonna start looking into this. Like, I have ideas of what I want to do to touch the people again, but I'm not trying to force myself. I'm not trying to put myself to a disadvantage where it's like, yo, all right, nigga, 2023, this is it. This is, nigga, come January, you gotta be, if you ain't on this level of your goals, then you failing, nigga. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. I'm honestly trying to live life, enjoy the fact that we just bought a house. We spent a lot of fucking money. You know, we got a lot of shit going on, man. We got a lot of shit going on, and we try to make it all work. And the things that I do from a creative aspect, I no longer want those things to have to garnish an income anymore. I spent probably the last 4 years of doing this fucking podcast, the Officially Street podcast that I did with my good friend Saya and Cherry. I spent like the greater part of the last 4 years, we all spent the greater part of the last 4 years trying to figure out how we could be more successful, how we could make more money, how we could do whatever we got to do to pop. I spent the last fucking 14 years rapping, trying to figure out what I gotta do. What do I go with? Me and Saya, 10 to fucking damn near 15 years of, when we really think about it, of our lives that we spent trying to make it as rappers. What do we gotta do? Who do we gotta get on the song? Who do we gotta let listen to our music? Who do we, blah, 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 blah. And the, you know, in the beginning, for a long time, that stress, it just comes as a part of doing what you gotta do. You know what I mean? But at this point in my life, man, the shit that I do has to fulfill me and not add stress to my life. And if it is going to add stress, if it is, then it got to be because that is the career and that's the sole career. But it can't be, it can't be the only thing. It can't be the only thing and just something that I'm chasing, and that's all that's happening in my life is I'm chasing. Because at that point, then I'm not feeling good about myself. Like, I'm tired of the chase at this point. You feel what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm really trying. If I am gonna do something, if I'm a do Twitch, or I'm gonna do any type of broadcast to where I'm going, you know, maybe in front of a camera or anything like that, I'm gonna do it because I want to do it. I'm gonna do it because that shit is fun, and I'm not gonna give a fuck if I got 3 viewers, 4 viewers. Because I'm not going to rely on that shit to pay me and do what I got to do. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in my fucking job for 11 years. I'm probably going to fucking retire from them niggas. You know what I mean? And if not, it's going to be because something happened, in the sense where I'm doing what I love to do, got me out of the situation. But I'm going to do what I love to do regardless. I'm going to make music regardless. You feel what I'm saying? My approach is going to be entirely different going forward. My approach is no longer, I spent a lot of years trying to figure out what sound I had to have, and what niggas was talking about, and what's the new wave, and how's niggas rapping now, and oh shit, now this has changed. And I, you know, like at this point, I'm going to do what I like to do. I don't give a fuck who likes it. God damn, you don't fuck with it. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it is what it is, you know?
I do.
You don't have to listen. So,
hold on, brother.
That's what I'm on. That's
hold,
what I'm on.
Hold yeah, on, that, brother. That. I got one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up. The last question is, have you come to terms with how your podcast ended? Because that is how, in fact, I met you.
Oh, it was tough, man. I knew what was happening before it was happening. I saw it happen before it happened, and it was very unfortunate. It was very unfortunate the way it ended. You got Sayer's point of view, you've got Cherry's point of view. Not necessarily gonna fully give my point of view, but at the end of the day, I feel like I was in the middle of something, watching a sitcom go down, and it became too far gone to a certain point. And come to terms with it, yeah, I have, because I pretty much knew it was gonna happen, and when it did, it was just like, damn it, man, it didn't have to be this way. It did not have to be this way. I think communication is important. That's all I'm going to say. The communication is very important. The way you communicate, knowing how someone interprets your communication, acknowledging that you may need to adjust how you communicate for certain people, you know, acknowledging that some things may do need to be shared on a personal level when you're partnering with someone, you know, in any aspect. Sometimes things need to be disclosed, and sometimes there needs to be understanding about certain things that may be disclosed. You know, that's all I'm gonna say, man. I have come to terms with it, but it didn't have to end the way it did. But personally, what I will say is I do think it had to end. I do think it had to end, and I do think it had to, if not end indefinitely, it had to come to a stop at the point it did. However, it came to a stop that was not prepared for. So, you know, rest in peace. Rest in peace, TOS Podcast. You know what I mean? We had a very happy 6 years. I think that today, no harm, no foul. It is what it is. I think, you know, there's obviously a very different dynamic, but it's no beef. I can't speak for everybody, but
oh no, you don't have to, because
I'm just hoping that
Brody,
know, at the end of the day, today is
no beef. Sayer and Cherry was both on my show. I asked both of them the same question. Sayer said one thing, Cherry said another thing, you said the last thing. How can people find you?
You can find me on every social media network at JOMEGASO. That's JAYOMEGA, the letter S, the letter O. Now, I don't know when this podcast is dropping, but it's the holiday season right now in my world, and I make Topito. A lot of people may not know what Topito is. If you don't, Topito, translated in Spanish, means little coconut. It is a coconut-based type eggnog, if you will. Puerto Rican and heritage. So it's thick, creamy, pours, and very coconutty. Mine happens to be vegan, no lactose involved, no dairy involved. Everything pours is nut milk, I mean. And it's very good. You can get yourself a two-pack from my website, shopjomega.com. Go to shopjomega.com. You'll see all the information on how to get your hands on some coquito. Get yourself some for the holiday season. I also do graphic design. I'm sorry I'm long-winded here, but if you want to know everywhere you can follow me, you can also follow me at Vision Graphics, and that is at V-I-Z-I-O-N-G-F-X. Vision Graphics. I do graphic design for your flyers.
Oh, hold on. Wait, I got to say this. I got to say this. For my very podcast, Jay Omega is the person that did my cover art for my very podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. And it was a great pleasure and honor to do so. I'm flattered that you asked me, because you know some super heavy hitters. You know people that can make it really do what it do. You had quite the broadcasting career yourself, good brother. You know a lot of connections. You have a lot of connections and know a lot of people that can do really great things and put you in position.
Let me tell you something right now. My apologies.
Go ahead.
As you can see, I've let you talk the entire episode. There is a very big difference between technically knowing people and those people being connections. I don't have a lot of connections. I just technically know people. And that's something that I had to come to terms with. That niggas is not gonna connect you to anything just because they give you dap. You know what I'm saying?
Most people won't. That is a fact. That's a fact. Or they won't do it without it being quid pro quo or some sort of you do for me, I do for you. Nothing is really gonna be all for the love. You feel what I'm saying? But yeah, I did your cover. I love doing it. I appreciated you asking me. And Vision Graphics, if your listeners are looking for any type of graphic design for an upcoming event, go ahead and take a look at the portfolio there, basically. And then
do you do logos?
I do logos, yes I do.
I'm gonna have to hire you again because I need a logo.
Yeah, what I do the most, I would say, are flyers and cover art, whether it be a podcast cover or a song cover or a mixtape or album cover. Most people hit me up for those things, but I also do logos. I do any type of photo editing, whether it be big or small. You want me to get rid of red eye? You want me to get rid of the white around your lip? You want me to cut you out of something and put you in a motherfucking spaceship somewhere, whatever it might be. I do all that kind of shit. Been doing that for over 15 years as well. I actually started doing graphic design because I started rapping, and I was like, we can't afford paying for all these cover arts and shit like that. So I just started learning how to do that shit on my own. I was already doing that shit in high school, but anyway, those are the places you can find me most actively on Twitter and Instagram at JOmegaSO. But I'm on every social media network. You may not see me going crazy on TikTok, but I'm on TikTok. I might start fucking with TikTok too in a different way. I just gotta really find out what. You know what I mean?
Nah, I can dig it, bro. And with that being said, peace and blessings. Pass the dressing, and I will speak to you niggas next week.